Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295 in the Mandarin community. Bible study at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. It's always our delight to have you on board each and every day. Your calls, your dialogue, discussion, your comments are welcomed, invited, and we enjoy the privilege and the opportunity to share with you the good news of those events that are taking place in our nation and around the world, and how we should respond as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots. We need to continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to continue to pray for Israel in general, and in particular, we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, according to the latest survey, anti-Semitism has gone up 140% since 2022. That is across America, 140% increase in anti-Semitism. We're witnessing that taking place in all of Europe. We're witnessing today what has just taken place in Amsterdam with the attempt to eradicate, to eviscerate, to wipe out the Jewish people. Amsterdam, the Netherlands, ladies and gentlemen, started in the early 60s with an open door policy. Listen and see how this mirrors with what we're doing in America. In the early 60s, the Netherlands had an open policy for allowing immigration on a wide, broad scale. By 1995, they realized that they had been taken over by the Islamic jihadists. As a realization and recognition of that, they tried to shut the door. They tried to say no to the any further ones coming in. They were overruled by those that had already been elected into office that were Islamic jihadists. And now that controls the Netherlands for the most part. Geert Wilders, one of the parliamentarians, said back in about 2009, 2010, he was warning America of what was going to happen if we did not close the door and say no to those coming in that would want to take over and control our nation. We're seeing that today. We're seeing that around the world with the Islamic jihadists coming in, taking control. They control most of Europe today. And as a result of what we're seeing, I'm concerned that between now and Inauguration Day, I'm concerned that we're going to see a major, major, major strike from Iran against Israel, and many of the other nations in the Middle East will galvanize and side with the anti-Jewish people, those that have the idea that Jewish people need to be annihilated, just as we saw in our nation in the past couple of years with the marching in the streets with our universities and in the parking lots and the streets across the nation, where those open-minded, airhead, useful idiots being used by the Islamic jihadist movement were screaming, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." That's a challenge, a chide, a call to eviscerate, to annihilate, to destroy the Jewish people. So I'm thankful that President Donald J. Trump has just appointed former Governor Mike Huckabee, a presidential candidate in 1988, Mike Huckabee. He's made, I believe, right at 100 trips to Israel. He knows it geographically. He knows it politically. He knows the leadership. He knows what needs to be done. He's been appointed as the ambassador to Israel. I'm thankful for that. But I'm also thankful for all of the other appointees that's been made. James, tell us your thoughts. Give us a lineup for our listeners to understand who has Trump appointed thus far for his cabinet. What does it mean to you? What should it mean to Christians and to America? Should we rejoice? Is it something we need to be concerned about? The socialist Marxist media, all of the talking heads on the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party, they're criticizing his appointees, appointment. So what are your thoughts? Tell our listeners something about those that he's appointed.
Well, and I will, and I'd be glad to. And you're too humble to mention it, but you've been the acquaintance of Governor Huckabee, and you gave me a big thumbs up when I asked what you thought about him. So to the listening audience, we've got firsthand knowledge from a man we trust that he's a great appointment. Thus far, what I've gotten down in my notes is Department of Government Efficiency, which is Dodge, which cracks me up. It's almost like they're trying to, they didn't spell D-O-D-G-E like the vehicle, but Dodge, D-O-G-E-E, because they're trying to dodge the truth and live fat on the hog kind of thing. They're supposed to restructure and cut waste, and that's Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. We've got Pete Hegseth for the Department of Defense Secretary.
By the way, just inserting a thought, I find it fascinating that you've got Elon Musk, a billionaire. You've got Vivek Ramaswamy, that's a mega millionaire. Mm-hmm. You've got two men that understand how to handle dollars and cents, that's put in a position that's going to look at everything, sieve it through the eyes of, is it economically feasible? Should we do it? Where can we cut the fat? So I'm thankful for that.
And as you and I joked about, one of Musk's first real public introductions for us, just out here in the fields watching, was he bought, it used to be Twitter and now it's X, and he cut 70% of the employees there, and yet they're doing great and growing. So that's going to kind of be an indication. So if you're not doing something where you are, then whether man's looking at you or God's looking at you, and there's a lot of verses about working in the Bible.
Absolutely. And if I can add this little thought too, James, without cutting you off with that, but I knew that they were having problems after COVID to get the federal workers to go back. And do you realize you use the term 70% on talking about Musk, or 70,000 or 70% of the employees? Do you realize, and I didn't know this until listening to one of the commentators on that, over 70% of the federal workers have never gone back in the office.
I believe
they're operating remotely, and still the federal government spending billions of dollars rent in office buildings and in building complexes that we're not using because people have not gone back to the office.
They've become an elitist club, but because there's no accountability, it'd be like giving a kid's 15-year-old kid the keys to the car and an unlimited credit card. And that's a really drastic example, but over the last 20, 30, 40 years, go back to the 40s and the 50s. I mean, I was born in the 50s, but you go back to that, you talk about people that grew up in that, and even the 60s and the 70s, the gusto and the joy of life and how they pursued things and so forth, and the accountability, that just the service level in restaurants now, if you get good service, you're surprised now. Mm-hmm. The bars across the board and everything, God forbid, you know, that's just a meal being served. If you're flying a plane, let's hope it's not a DEI hire. If you're getting a surgery, let's not hope it was somebody that was hired because of their race, sex, or marital status. Mm-hmm. We don't care. We care about the most qualified kind of thing, but yet you can't say those kind of things. That's unpopular. Well, guess what? It's starting not to be unpopular to say, let's do highest and best. Let's work for and look at the best situation that we can with these people.
Many of the major corporations, by the way, that had the departments of DEI, they've recognized it not only is bad, but it is detrimental for their business. Yep. And they company after company after company across America, they're ceasing and desisting having the departments of DEI. They see it does not work.
Bud Light, go woke,
Bud
go
Light's
broke.
A good illustration.
Yep. Yeah. Representative Mike Waltz is, I got a little personal knowledge of, and I'm reading his book, just started it, that going to immediately end the war in Ukraine along with Trump. I love it. Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, Susie Wiles, Chief of Staff, Tom Holman, the Border Czar. I don't think you could get a better...
No, he just announced, made a public announcement to the illegal invaders. He said, if you, he said, if you're here illegally, pack your bags. You're headed home.
Sorry. And I think I heard that, and I also heard that they said, well, what about the families? And he said, that's perfect. We're not going to break them up. They're going to go, too.
Go together.
Does it sound cutthroat and mean-spirited? Well, maybe it does sound harsh, but guess what? Most children, as they grow up, spare the rod, spoil the child. Can I say that? Gosh,
yes.
You get in trouble for smacking somebody on the tookus now. But you know, and I know, if you spare the rod and spoil the child and you don't have boundaries, we've got, my wife and I have got twin boys, and one of them later in life, we said, Zach, what could we have done different that would have been better for you? And he goes, I think you were too easy on me. My wife and I looked at each other and said, oh my gosh. And he called us out for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so be careful, parents, that
you
don't hear that kind of thing.
That's right. The scripture said, if you beat him with a rod, he'll not die. And the Youngblood commentary on that says, beat him with a rod, he'll not die, even though it might sound like it.
It might sound, yeah. Elise Stefanik is the UN ambassador. I think she's wonderful. I think she's from New York, isn't she?
New York.
Don't hold that against her. I'm from New York, but I've been southernized. I've been here over 40 years. Lee Zeldin, EPA administrator. Mm-hmm. Terrific. One of my personal favorites, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. Can I hear from the audience just a loud scream of yay?
Yeah.
She's going to be wonderful. Homeland Secretary.
Homeland Security, yes.
Yeah, Homeland Security Secretary and National Guard. She was the first one to send National Guard help her state. So I know the Bible has a lot to say about women in leadership, but she kind of really stepped up to the plate with that,
You know, they were, the left was all upset with her because when she had two or three years ago, she had a dog that was ill, and you could tell it wouldn't survive.
Yeah.
She put it down. She took the dog out in the edge of the woods or out in the yard, wherever it was, and took a shotgun and
it
dispatched the dog.
Anymore. Yeah.
And as a result of that, she's a mean-spirited person. She's bad. She ought not to be in that position. That's what the left is saying.
Yeah. They're talking about doing that in several European countries, and I think in Canada, assisted suicide. So she's mean for taking a dog that was suffering and bringing it to the edge of the woods and shooting, putting it out of its misery. And she's a hunter. I'm sure she knows exactly where to shoot it and exactly when, and that was that. And everybody that's lost a pet and loves animals, it's heartbreaking. But what a strong woman. What is it, Proverbs 31:25? Clothed with strength and dignity, she can laugh at the days to come. She wasn't laughing. I'm sure she was crying.
Mm-hmm.
And was second... Corinthians 7:11 says, I'm not happy that I made you sad, but I'm happy that your sorrow led you to repentance.
Yes.
So those of us that cursed her for shooting her dog, let's repent and say, good for you. And then John Ratcliffe, the CIA director.
Yes.
I'm okay with that, but I think we should just go do away with the CIA because the CIA is a relatively new agency. And you'll notice that one of my favorite presidents was Reagan, and then JFK was assassinated on my birthday, 11/22. So those of us born in November, November 22nd, he was assassinated. And when the sister came in, I went to Catholic school. She was crying. It scared us to death and found out. Scott Bessette, potential Treasury Secretary, there's about four or five potential nominees. So they're still on the – and that's what I've got. Robert Leitziger. Another one. There's several for potential Treasury Secretary. But, yeah, we talked about that, getting back to the FBI, CIA. Well, this is the CIA, but getting back to that FBI and so forth. Dr. Youngblood, you and I talked a few weeks ago about the little study that we did on 12 U.S. government agencies, and it's ironic. Maybe we saw something happen in the future. The FDA, $7 billion annual budget, 18,000 employees. The DOJ, $30 billion budget, 113,000, and I'm not doing the 114 in addition. FBI, $11.4 billion, 37,000 employees. Department of Homeland Security, $48.5 billion, 260,000 employees. The CIA, $750 million, but yet I put an asterisk because the combined CIA has offices worldwide. And it's very elusive to find out their annual budget. I had a floating figure of 750, and then I saw 8 billion worldwide, 21,575 employees. NIH, 45 billion, 18,478. DHS, DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services, because there's Department of Homeland Security, but that's $460,083,202. So DHS and DHHS are two separate agencies, and between the two of them, it's billions of dollars. SSA is $1.2 trillion. Don't even get, Dr. Youngblood and I started on that, 62,000 employees. The IRS, do away with it, 16,000, and do tariffs and sales tax, maybe, 19,000. Department of Defense, $726 billion, 2,800,000 employees. EPA, $8 billion, 14,000. CDC, $7 billion, 8,500 employees. FEMA has been in the news, $29.5 billion, 20,000 employees. And it is. Look, do your own research, guys. But the mission statement of each of these is available online, and then ask yourself, looking in the mirror, and see if you can keep a straight face when you read their mission statements. If we're getting a fair bang for our buck, bad choice of words, some of them are so bold to even say they have a motto, and the FBI's motto will blow you away.
Yes. Well, the FBI right now, Christopher Wray, I read an article yesterday that said Christopher Wray and the upper brass in the FBI are highly concerned about the future. In fact, several of them are saying they're going to go ahead and retire early before Trump goes in.
Yeah,
they see the handwriting on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about things that we need to know, especially we need to know as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, that we might be able to continue to pray for President Donald J. Trump, for his safety, for his preservation, that God will give him wisdom in making the choices to put together his cabinet and be ready to have a running start on January the 20th when he is sworn into office. But ladies and gentlemen, again, going back to one of the key elements that I am so thankful for. For example, President Trump has talked about effectuating change to protect our religious liberties and our freedom of speech. Number one, he says, I'm going to end government collusion with the companies and platforms that collude with the Biden administration to censor our lawful speech. Trump promises to ban any federal money being used to label speech as misinformation or disinformation. I just simply, James, say wonderful. Couldn't do any better. Then, secondly, President Trump promises to investigate and to prosecute the digital censorship cabal. Digital censorship cabal, we're talking about all of our social media platforms, our text messages, our emails, our Instagram, Google, et cetera, et cetera, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. He says the Department of Justice will investigate and prosecute all online platforms that censor our First Amendment rights in America. And thirdly, President Trump has committed to revise the Section 230. The Section 230 deals with the Communications Act. This applies to the digital platforms to get online platforms out of the censorship business. He says no longer will these social media platforms have immunity and protection. They must be neutral and must be fair and non-discriminatory, or we will prosecute them. That's President Donald J. Trump. Fourthly, Trump promises to do away with the so-called misinformation and disinformation, returning America to free speech completely. President Trump said, and I quote, "We need to back up the entire toxic censorship industry." He's talking about breaking up the entire toxic censorship industry. Trump promises to halt any federal funding to any agency, nonprofit, academic programs that support interference with our free speech. That goes into all of the colleges, all of the universities, all of the school systems that interfere with the free speech in any fashion and call something misinformation or disinformation. He makes a commitment that they will defund it and will no longer allow federal dollars to be used for that. Trump also said in the fifth part of that statement about our freedom of speech, he said he will develop a digital bill of rights, the right to be protected from government officials spying on or removing our online content. Final words from the President Trump was, quote, when I am president, this whole rotten system of censorship and information control will be ripped out, removed, nothing left, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm taking time to say that because as Christians, as conservatives, we need to recognize the potential of what God can do through President Trump. Now, I'm not putting all of our confidence in man. In fact, in the scriptures, very, very clear in Psalms 146 and verse 3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. Ladies and gentlemen, it's God that can provide the wisdom, the insight, the protection, the preservation, and the promotion of what Donald J. Trump wants to do that will protect America and get us back to the point where our Bill of Rights have meaning and we can trust it. But ladies and gentlemen, one of the major things that's on the horizon for President Donald J. Trump to do, and by the appointment of Mike Huckabee as the ambassador to Israel, I believe we're going to see a massive tectonic shift in what has been taking place in Israel. Behind our eyes, behind closed doors, President Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have been negotiating with the enemies of Israel behind the scenes and at the public communication on that, claiming that we're standing with Israel. The Biden administration, withdrawn billions of dollars of aid to Israel. They've been funding by the billions of dollars to the enemy of Israel, just as the enemy of Israel is really Iran. Iran is funding Hezbollah. Iran is funding the puppet states of terrorism around the globe. Iran has been funding Hamas and all of those that in the Gaza Strip. As a result of Trump's election, all of a sudden there's now a tightening up of the ship, a tightening of the belt, and a mindset that we need to do something that will openly protect and preserve and be a partner with the nation of Israel. Trump says he's going to cut off all funding to the enemy of Israel. He's going to take a step that I believe God would be honored in, and as a result of that, I believe that as Christians, we need to continue to pray and thank God for it. James, do you believe it is possible? Now, this is me. This is hypothetical. We touched on this before we went on air today, and I just want to hear your take on it. And I've not heard anybody say this, but I believe that between now and the 20th of January, the high possibility and major probability is that Joe Biden will officially step down as president, putting Kamala Harris as president, so that at Inauguration Day, with Trump being inaugurated, Kamala Harris's record would show that she was the first black female president in America. That is the legacy that Joe Biden, I believe, wants to leave. And in doing so, I believe that Kamala Harris then will pardon all of the Biden family cabal, including Hunter Biden, because Joe Biden has said, perhaps no less than a dozen times, that he will not pardon Hunter Biden. What's your take on that? Am I way off in left base? Is that possible? What are your thoughts?
No, when we were discussing that, before you brought that subject up before we got on the air, I said, that's brilliant. And I was hoping you'd bring that up. I think you're exactly right. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. And they'll kill a lot of stones with one, you know, a lot of birds with one stone. That'll make Kamala look official and so forth, and then she'll be the one. It's gonna be, don't be putting that on me, Ricky Bobby. It'll be the next person. Well, I didn't pardon him. Mm-hmm. She did. Kind of thing. Yeah.
I believe we have a caller on the line. Terry, go with your question to comment, please.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Youngblood. I have a statement question. I don't know how exactly it's going, but when President Trump walked into the White House today, I wonder if he, in his mind, he looked at people and did what his show used to say, you're fired.
that I believe went through his mind, whether he can speak it or not. By the way, I did not see that time frame with his going in, because that was about time for the show when he was going in. But it's going to be interesting to see the take that others are placing on that and what they will say. In fact, I've said it'd be good to be a fly on the wall to hear and to see that meeting between Biden and Trump and what would have been said at that particular moment. Because right now, what's been taking place, Biden has been pushing all of his staff, all of his people, to, quote, Trump-proof our policies. In other words, making policies become codified in a position in a way that Trump cannot, by executive orders, change them, modify them, or to eradicate them. And right now, state after state after state, they're doing the same thing, Trump-proofing their state. Out in California, they're doing that, and other the blue states, Trump-proofing their state, setting up and changing and modifying regulations so that Trump cannot, by fiat or by executive order, change it. But listen, our time is about gone. We've got another caller on the line. But thank you so much for your call today. Keep praying. Keep looking up. Thank you, and God bless you. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. I wanted to know if you've heard anything or know about them getting a grip on the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and the overreach that they have against our Second Amendment rights. And if you could just comment on that, I sure would appreciate it. Thank you for your show.
That's a good question. I've not heard any rumblings as to who they're going to place over that. One of the things I am concerned about, and that is with the thing that's taking place today in secret ballot, authorized and carried out by Mitch McConnell with the three candidates, one of the candidates being probably the more conservative candidate, Rick Scott, which is the former governor here in the state of Florida. Rick is a good man, but keep in mind, Rick Scott signed into law in the state of Florida the red flag laws. Rick Scott, while a congressman, has been also involved in red flag laws and the funding of legislation for red flag laws. Rick Scott has voted with some of the others in the House and the Senate that have been moving to infringe upon our Second Amendment rights. He's voted with them two or three times, which causes me to have concern. But out of the three, he would still be the top candidate for the position of the leader in the Senate, taking Mitch McConnell's place. But I've not heard any rumblings as to who they're going to put in charge of the Department of Alcohol and the continual control and trying to take away our Second Amendment rights. And I'm prayerful that he put someone in that position that will give the release of our Second Amendment rights, the right to keep and bear arms. I'm in favor of anybody that has a good, pristine record of standing for the right to keep and bear arms. James, what are your final thoughts? We've got about a minute and a half.
Final thoughts. Let's ring a bell here. Back in 1776, one of the most significant months in American history, in July, a couple days later, when they christened the Liberty Bell. I want the listening audience to know that the Liberty Bell wasn't just the Liberty Bell. The Liberty Bell had something emblazoned on it, and that was Leviticus, which, as my buddy Charlie Kirk says, most Americans can't even spell Leviticus. Well, look in the book of Leviticus 25:10, and this is what it says. So if our founding fathers weren't Christ-centered people and accounting to and holding their heart up to God, it says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. And I would just tell you, think back when you hear that bell ringing. When you get to the seventh book in the Bible, Judges, Israel goes through cycles of sin, suffering, and salvation. Ask yourself where we are right now as a country. We've seen in a compressed time schedule things hit the fan and go every which way. So keep your head down and realize, keep looking up to the Lord, but keep leaning into the work that needs to be done and fill yourself with the knowledge of the truth book and go out and proclaim that liberty and that freedom to people, but make sure they know they've got to take action.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, the call to action today is to pray, and keep praying for Donald Trump, for God's provision,
amen,
for God's preservation and protection in his life. Thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.